Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and my guests today are Mark Johnston, Acting Assistant Secretary, Community Planning and Development within the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and Susan Angel, Executive Director of the Veterans Homelessness Initiative within the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. So, Susan, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the veteran population. What are you doing in the area of outreach to at-risk veterans? How are you raising awareness to all the programs you have available to this population?
That's a really good question, because we find that one of the barriers to care is folks just don't understand how much is available to them. For our newest veterans, sometimes they will leave and not realize they have 5 years of free health care if they served in the war zone. So we have had a campaign effort called Make the Call. Mm-hmm. We have a 24/7 call center for homeless veterans. And we went across the country. Our top leadership hit 28 cities in 2 weeks and did radio, TV, ribbon cuttings, stand downs, all to talk about this call center and make the call. So a veteran can call, a family member, a friend, a community provider, a first responder, anybody who comes in contact with a homeless veteran or someone who's at risk for that can call this number, and they will get a warm handoff to services close to their geographic area. Mm-hmm. The people that are on this call center 24/7, they're professionals. Many of them are veterans themselves, so they really understand what the struggles are, and they really understand sometimes how hard it is to make that first call. Mm-hmm. We're very happy with that. After the campaign, we increased the calls to the call center over 200%. Our first year, we were getting about 10,000 calls a year, and now we're getting 10,000 calls a month. So it's really become a very open door in terms of finding out services that our homeless veterans can take advantage of. VA also has very specific outreach coordinators in each of the medical centers, mm-hmm. whose job it is to go out into the community where veterans are, veteran service organizations, and invite them to come in for care. Probably one of our biggest asset for outreach are our vet centers. Mm-hmm. We have 300 vet centers across the nation, and they're primarily staffed by fellow combat veterans. So the credibility that Mark referred to mm-hmm. earlier, that vet-to-vet contact, makes it so much easier for a fellow veteran to come into a site, understand what the services are, and feel comfortable, welcomed, and respected for the service that they've given our country. These vet centers also have mobile vet centers. These mobile vet centers are these great big bus things, and they're equipped with offices and technology such that they can go out to an event and provide care, provide counseling, get someone eligible and into the VA system of care. They can also take those mobile vet centers and go out into our very rural areas on a regular basis to make sure that not just expecting veterans to come to us, but we're reaching out to veterans and making sure we reach them. The other thing that we do are stand downs. Mm-hmm. We have stand downs across the country, and it's an event, usually once a year, 1 or 2 or 3 days, where the entire community comes together, the VA, the local service provider, social services, whatever a veteran might need, food, shelter, clothing, health screenings, all those things are available at a stand down. And some of our most exciting standouts is when we have veteran courts there. We have a judge that shows up, and veterans that have particular kinds of legal issues that either stop them from getting an ID or keep them from getting a driver's license, whatever that is, right then and there, a judge can adjudicate their situation and just open the door for them to get back into housing and back into a quality of life. Last year, we had 206 stand downs across the country.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Mark, your efforts, as you pointed out earlier, have contributed to about a 12% drop in homelessness among veterans. Is that a fair, is it 12% still?
In one year, year over year.
Given all the progress that has been made, getting to zero in 3 years will be tough, no doubt. As your efforts continue and your mission grows more challenging, how are you preparing to meet some of these challenges that you see for the future?
Well, you're certainly right. We have a little less than 3 years to end veteran homelessness, and it is going to be challenging. We have had an 18% reduction in the last 2 years, so it wasn't just progress in one particular year.
Sure.
For the next year's budget, we have just submitted, as of last week, an increased request of 25% of HUD's homeless account, which I don't know that you'll see that anywhere in government, especially in this era. But it's because we show results, we can demonstrate outcomes, that we can actually solve homelessness. So we've asked for a nearly $500 million increase in our budget for our regular homeless programs. Many of those dollars will be going to helping veterans. We've also asked for an additional 10,000 vouchers through the HUD VASH program. And to make sure that we end veteran homelessness, we in the VA are working very hard to make sure that the vast majority of those vouchers are used for the most needy, for the chronically homeless who are living on the streets that have disabilities, and using other resources like the VA's program, Supportive Services for Veteran Families, and HUD's program, Emergency Solutions Grants, for things like rapid rehousing. So in our request to Congress this year for an increased level of funding for our homeless programs, including HUD VASH, we also said, and for our regular program that would benefit homeless shelters, we want to make sure that $60 million of that is specifically targeted just to rapid rehousing, as opposed to other activities such as prevention, which aren't quite yet proven. So we're trying to be as strategic and directive as we can with the funding that we've got to make sure we can reach this goal.
Susan, what about on the VA side?
Well, on the VA side, we actually came to a mutual decision that using those very precious HUD VASH vouchers for our most needy is probably one of the strongest ways we're going to end homelessness, because that is going to be our hardest population. And it comes with the kinds of care and support services to keep someone in the housing once we get them there. The increase in the SSVF, that's huge. That really is taking our assets and using them for, if you will, some bridge assistance. As I said, it's economical, it's flexible, it's very easy for our veterans to use that, and we intend to keep up that funding for that program as we go down the road.
Susan, I wanted to follow up. Do you anticipate needs increasing given the end of the Iraq War and the complete drawdown in Afghanistan, and in what ways are you addressing the changing environment?
We're really keeping an eye on our what we would call our OAF, OEF, OND, and that's our Operation Iraqi Freedom, Enduring Freedom, and New Dawn population. The SSVF program is probably the program for this group because they haven't been out long enough where they are chronically homeless, and they just may have significant employment issues. We know that the unemployment rate for this population is one of the highest. Mm-hmm. So we're really working with Department of Defense to make sure we have good transitions. We're working with Department of Labor to make sure that there are job assistance services out there. The secretary was able to get tremendous programs for the post 9/11 GI education bill. So we have so much education that's available to this population as they're coming out. I also said they had 5 years if they were served in the combat zone for health care. Right now, that population only constitutes about 5.5% of our homeless population. So I think here's where we can be more supportive and not even have them be vulnerable to be homeless. But if they are, we certainly have the services to take care of them. In our SSVF program, 15% of the veterans using that program are OEF, OAF, OND veterans.
So, Mark, I'd like to talk more about how you're leveraging innovation and advances in technology to make a difference and achieve your goals.
There are a lot of different things that we're both doing. Let me just mention one from the HUD side. We have developed a tool for communities so they can look at the data they have from our point in time counts, from the annual homeless assessment report, and other data, so they can make informed decisions on how to reallocate or restructure their homeless system. Many communities have a system that was in place 15 years ago but really hasn't changed much, and it's really time to do that. With limited dollars, we've got to restructure. We've got to reallocate and redirect in many, many communities. And so we've got a tool now for them online that they can use to really do that.
Right. Susan?
Well, we have a couple of areas where we're using technology. We have right now a homeless registry, and our homeless registry goes back several years where we can actually identify and track every single veteran who's come to the VA for any kind of homeless care. And we can see how they move across the country. We can see the kinds of services they need, what works, what doesn't work. So that's been incredibly helpful to us. This last point in time count, we had a very modest test of an application. Instead of using paper and pencil, we had smartphones and we had tablets that we made available to a few folks across the country to see if we could assist the staff with making that point in time count a little bit easier and the data collection a little bit faster. But the thing that we most recently advertised is we partnered up with Bon Jovi, and he sponsored a app competition that resulted in an effort called Project Reach. And this is an application that can go on a smartphone, and anybody can download it, and it will tell you in New Jersey what services are available. If it has an icon like food, you can push food and it'll tell you where you can go get food. If there's a bed, you can push the icon that has a bed. It'll tell you what shelter has capacity. So both a provider, a community member, and a veteran family member can go onto this, use this app, and find out what resources they need. They give the location, they give the times of operation and what's available. So it's those kinds of things we really look forward to using as we go down this journey to end veteran homelessness.
Now, did I hear you correct? Is that app only applicable? Is it for the full USA, or is
it's right now
being tested?
We tested it, okay. And it's working. It's working just fine in New Jersey, but it is scalable. So it's available for other communities to download and put their information in. There were three competitors that made the finals, and all three of them have very easy apps. I can even use them, so it's easy.
So that's the most recent collaboration between HUD and VA and the music industry.
We partner with everybody.
Well, I've enjoyed this conversation. I want to congratulate you both because you and your efforts were awarded the Service to America Medal by the Partnership for Public Service for your work in reducing and ending veteran homelessness. Would you tell us more about the award, and more particularly, what does it mean to get recognition from your peers?
Well, I think that one of the most important things that came out of receiving this award, it really shows the American people that government agencies can work. And we can solve very, very difficult problems. We can work well together. It shows that we can share a goal. We have a common passion. We share the responsibility for achieving a very, very challenging mission. And I think that's something that the American people need to hear, that we're using your money well. We're serving the veterans who served you. It's really hard, but working together, we're actually getting the job done.
Wonderful. Mark?
I guess I would say almost the same thing. The notion of teamwork. I mean, Susan and I worked together all the time. We had a great team of six that got that award because there are various parts of our agencies that have to work together to make this whole thing work. And the other is really something that also Susan mentioned, and that is it was just reaffirming to me that if we're focused in a very strategic, thoughtful way on a particular problem, that we can solve it. We actually see a reduction of that size in one particular year, that we really can solve any vexing social problem.
And I want to pick up on that because I wonder if you guys can bottle your success in terms of shared leadership, because we at the center, and my interest in particular is on leadership, in particular complex wicked problems like what you're dealing with. I sort of joke because a lot of the C-suiters have the whether it's the Chico Council, the CFO Council. What are you folks doing? This recognition, this award is a great way to get your efforts and success at collaborating and shared leadership out there. Are you doing anything else to say, hey, listen, this could happen. We can do this together on other problems. Is there any way of engaging your colleagues, your federal colleagues, in this way?
I think we do that frequently. We are invited to come and speak and talk about what we've been able to do and really the nuts and bolts, if you will, the recipe book that it takes to get this done to up-and-coming leaders. And that's very exciting. When you're talking to a group of 30 up-and-coming federal leaders, the notion of sharing a mission, sharing resources, sharing data is huge. You have to be willing to do that in a transparent way. You have to trust that the other organization has the same goodwill and has the same goal in front of them as you do. And we have that. But it takes time. It takes far more than meetings. Like we've said, we go out to communities as a leadership team together. We attend events together. We train these up-and-coming leaders together about what it takes. You have to look at your data. You have to be able to say, wow, you failed on that one. How can we help you do better? And we say that back and forth to each other. And that's a conversation that has to be okay and part of the culture of transparency. If we just did dog and pony shows at our HUDSTAT meetings, we really wouldn't get very far. But we constantly push each other to be better. So I think we've been able to do a lot of those kinds of teaching moment activities and giving people strategies about what it takes. You're not going to get it done in a meeting a month.
Mark, what about the HUD perspective?
I think one of the important lessons for me is having a program that you actually jointly share, you jointly own, is a powerful, powerful tool that we don't do enough in the federal government. We all have our own little silos and we do our own little thing, and there's no real incentive to work across agency lines or even within agencies. So that's, I think, one lesson that I've learned that I would hope that we could do better at in the federal government. We don't have to just use our resources. We ought to, within a particular agency, within a particular office. I know on these other areas of homelessness, on, for instance, chronic homelessness and family homelessness, this week, Susan and I were meeting with our bosses and 19 agencies and the White House and OMB on how we're doing on veteran homelessness. Susan presented on the status of veteran homelessness. I presented on the status of chronic homelessness. So I, for instance, was a co-lead on with another agency on how we can reduce chronic homelessness. So it's this same collaboration that we've seen with HUD and VA. We really are applying around the government as agencies. I was at HHS earlier this week thinking through the family side. How do we better reduce family homelessness? And HHS is really the lead on that one. So collaboration is key, but as she said, it's really not easy to do. Our cultures as agencies couldn't be more different, you know, in terms of the size, in terms of the way we think, in terms of the way we're organized. So it takes time and a commitment to want to do it.
You know, I have one last question I want to ask, and I usually ask all of my guests this question, and it's around advice. Susan, what advice would you have for someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
I would say get those applications in, get that job. I think from my own experience, I joined the VA as a social worker and really never had any big dreams about being in a leadership position. So I've been able to have a federal career that's been filled with challenges. I've been able to respond to 9 disaster responses. I've been able to go to Afghanistan on loan to help there with health care. The interagency work that I've been able to do, there are so many opportunities in federal government that when you first start, you don't quite realize that. But each time you raise your hand for a new mission or a new challenge, you can have one of the richest careers you could possibly hope for in federal service.
Mark, what advice would you give?
I would say definitely pursue it. I came to government as a presidential management fellow 30 years ago and had always known, at least since I was in college, that I really wanted to do something in public service. And I can't imagine finding a career more satisfying. And it doesn't mean you have to be in one agency. I've worked in 3 different agencies and probably 20 different jobs. And there's lots of really wonderful opportunities to make an impact that you couldn't ever get, I don't think, in the business sector.
Great. I want to thank you both, Mark and Susan, for being here today and sharing your story. But more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Susan Angel, Executive Director of the Veterans Homelessness Initiative, and Mark Johnston, Acting Assistant Secretary at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.